Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys. How's your morning going?
Oh, it's going just about as what you would imagine. Pretty.
You're used to doing these, Ken. Come on, you've had plenty of practice.
I don't like them anymore.
We never get used to them.
We don't. Because there were people, and this is what. Can I just share something with you?
Yeah.
I will swear on a Bible, I will take a polygraph. There are people going, hey, you know, that's great for your radio. That's great for your show. I go, no, it's not. No, it's not. Like, Lima likes the Browns and wants the Browns to win. I like the Browns and want the Browns to win. When they don't win a game like that, and I see the vitriol and anger, and justified, by the way, because I think fans were felt to be made a fool yesterday based on the last 9 months, and for them to come out and lay that tremendous egg. But when I see that, I get this sinking feeling in my stomach where I equate it to if the principal call your dad at work because you did something wrong at school, and now I'm at home waiting for dad to come home. That's the way it was at 5 o'clock because I knew the calls were going to come in, and I knew they were going to be angry, and I knew they were going to be everything that I just didn't want them to be, and that's exactly what they've been today, Daryl.
Yeah, it's like I wrote in one of my stories last night, no team sucks the life out of their fans quite like the Browns do. I mean, an entire offseason of positivity, of hype, feeling good, and they went out and did that yesterday. A very disappointing afternoon.
Freddie, by the way, at 1:30 today. How do you feel that Freddie came off in the post-press conference? I mean, he came off to me very obviously upset, but man, I thought Baker handled it much better and had a lot more resolve than what Freddie did. I got to admit to you.
Well, and I wrote this too. I thought he was unprepared yesterday. I thought the team was unprepared yesterday. It showed on the field. 18 penalties. Actually, it was 20, but they had two where they got flagged twice, so they only got charged for 18. So they had that going for them.
At least they got a discount.
They got a discount. You got to go back to 1951 for that.
Was a Paul Brown team, though.
Yes, it was.
I know. And that Paul Brown team went 11-1 and appeared in the NFL championship, by the way. The script out of the gate was great. They did exactly what I thought they'd do, and that's just go right down the field, punch the Titans in the mouth. And then it just the wheels came completely off the wagon after that. It's as if they ran through their entire script and they didn't know what to do after that. I wasn't all that impressed with the coaching job done by one Freddie Kitchens yesterday.
I thought that they became emotional play calls.
Yeah, yes.
I think that's something we do in a video game.
Emotional play calls, I think, is fair. Emotional players as well. Your starting left tackle, Greg Robinson, got kicked out for kicking someone in the face. Myles Garrett should have been kicked out for throwing an open hand punch. Late in the game, Devereaux Lawrence had a colorful conversation with an official after they bumped into each other and drew an unsportsmanlike conduct flag.
Yeah, they were dropping F-bombs at each other.
Yeah,
him and the ref.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I meant by colorful. I heard what the conversation was. I'm not allowed to repeat it on the radio. The holding penalties, blindside blocks, offensive pass interference, defensive holding, jumping off sides on third and four. They were not a mentally sharp and focused team yesterday. And to me, that falls on the coaching staff.
All right, Daryl Ryder, join us on the hotline. Baker Mayfield just seemed, even though it wasn't a terrible game for three quarters, we know the wheels fell off.
Right.
Looked like he pressed a little bit in the fourth. Still five sacks. We knew the O-line was going to be a problem. But he also seemed like he was holding onto the ball way too long yesterday, Daryl.
Was not comfortable yesterday. Now, so it's easy to sit and say, hey, man, the offensive line yesterday was terrible, especially after Robinson got tossed and they did that shuffle. They had to move Hubbard over. Bring in a new right tackle. But the quarterback plays a part in that as well. So do the receivers. It's a complimentary game. So, yeah, on the surface, Five sacks, seven quarterback hits. It's easy to say, man, the offensive line stunk yesterday. I don't think they played particularly well, but Baker had to share some of the blame there too. Holding on the ball too long, wasn't seeing the field as good as I think he really needed to. And that happens. It, you know, games like that happen. What I'm now interested in is how they react. They said all the right things, at least, you know, Baker Mayfield and the guys in the locker room. I am curious to see what happens next Monday night in New York. Hopefully it's not even close to what we saw yesterday.
Always dangerous. Darrell Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, you just said it because I made mention. I don't see them committing 20 penalties again. I don't see them shooting themselves in the foot like that. You gave Tennessee a touchdown in the second quarter to take a lead. You committed four penalties there, giving them first downs during that one. You gave them five first downs because of penalties in a quarter alone, for crying out
loud.
Gave them
21 points in the fourth quarter because of the interceptions.
Because of the turnovers of what happened there. And, I think that those were forced. They could have kept their composure and came out okay with Nick Chubb and running the football. That's the one that concerns me. But I think that this roster is just too talented to go right into the toilet the way some people are fearing. I have to admit that.
Yeah,
as ugly as it was, Darrell, I don't think they'd do something like that again.
Well, I tried to provide a little glimmer of hope, albeit I did it tongue-in-cheek. You know, this reminds me a little bit of 2007. Remember, they got their doors blown off by the Steelers. They lost 34-7. The very next day, Charlie Fry got traded to the Seattle Seahawks. Pretty sure Baker's not getting traded today. So they're already a step ahead of the game. That team, you know, Derek Anderson took over. They went 10-5 over the remaining 15. This team has the talent to be able to do that. So, yes, it is one game. I know fans are certainly disappointed, frustrated, upset. It was the same old Browns in week number one. They, again, looked overmatched, underprepared, flustered, played with emotion, got burned because they played with emotion. So it's not over yet. But I will say this. If they play like they did yesterday, they have no chance to beat the Rams. They have no chance to beat the Ravens.
No.
They have no chance to beat the Patriots. They have no chance of beating the Steelers. No chance of beating anyone. You can't play games like that at this level. You can't. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying into the, well, they should have played together in the preseason. I'm not going to allow the Browns that excuse and that out for what we witnessed yesterday.
Well, according to the audio we played earlier, it seems that Jarvis Landry wasn't going to allow such a comment either. So how do we balance out the preseason then? Because if you bring back the same people next year, you're going to have the same conversation next year.
Yeah.
I was expecting a sloppy football game. I just didn't realize it was going to be like that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be easy, even though I did predict the Browns to win by 14. But I thought it was going to be a separation in the fourth quarter for the Browns instead of the other separation in the fourth quarter that we saw. But you have that in the first week of the season. I don't know what they do to fix this preseason. I admit, I misjudged something. I thought the Browns were loaded for bear. I thought that they were prepared, they were ready, they were anxious to get out there and give their fans something to cheer about, and then they go out and they lay an egg. And I thought they had a good training camp. I liked the way Freddie Kitchens managed training camp. I liked, based on people that I talked to about what happened in Indianapolis with the Colts, minus the fighting. And you know what, though? While, Baker Mayfield and other players feel like that trip to Indianapolis kind of galvanized them as a team, you know, the reports that second day of all those fights and all that emotion kind of spilling over and disrupting practice. They had a special teams drill, if I remember correctly. They just said to heck with it because there were too many fights. Well, maybe that was a little sign of things to come. They gotta work on their emotions and controlling them and not allowing them to get the best of them, because the Titans, I think, took advantage. I'm sure there was a ton of trash talk. Based on what Delanie Walker said after the game, they were who we thought they were. Y'all want to crown them. The Titans coaches running out of the press box to the elevators as they ran by me. I heard one of the assistants chuckle, same old Browns. Titans came in with a plan. They executed that plan to perfection, and I bet you part of it was because the Browns have some big-name personalities that have some history of, you know, being emotional type players. I bet you the Titans came into this thing talking a little smack and looking to get under the Browns' skin, and guess what? It worked.
I will admit, I like a good show, so I understand that even though I was frustrated, I have to appreciate this. When Mike Vrabel did the ring-up motion like an umpire, when Greg Robinson got thrown out, I thought that that was a really good move. I'll admit that.
Vrabel's a good coach. He really is, and we saw that yesterday. It was a solid game plan that they came after the Browns, and you know, they didn't have two of their starting offensive linemen, and they had a third guy that was banged up, and Browns only got four sacks on Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, listen, if the Titans had a quarterback that was worth anything, that game would have been 86-13 because of some of the opportunities that they had. Mariota allowed to get away. So, you know, you credit the Titans. Shame on the Browns.
All right, Darrell Ryder, join us on the hotline. Let's talk a little bit about that defense, because obviously they were put in a bad position there in the fourth quarter. I think the offense really hindered what they were able to do. They just could not keep containing. I thought they got to Mariota a decent amount. He missed some opportunities, absolutely. Overall, what did you think of that revamped defensive line?
Well, you know, the 75-yard touchdown to Henry that came on that screen was disappointing, because as I was watching that game, Anthony, the Titans kept going to the screen, and it wasn't working. They were either dropping the pass or getting tackled in the backfield. You know, the Browns actually did a fairly decent job, but as I was watching, I said, you know what? Browns going to get burned by a screen here. Titans saw something on film that they keep going to this, the bubble screens and the screens to the flat, and sure enough, they hit a big one, and that was right after the Browns climbed to within 2 points at 15-13, and the Browns never recovered. It unraveled from there. Three interceptions in the next four possessions followed. The Titans got very short fields to work with, 35-yard drive, 34-yard drive, and then, of course, you had the pick six. So I think that the defense just flat out ran out of gas toward the end, and understandably so.
Darrell Ryder joining us on the show. Baker's hand, I know that it seems to be some sort of a little bit of a conversation. They say it's fine. Yeah. I have to ask you, because he did leave with a soft wrap, so let's just make sure and we make it all official. Go ahead.
Team said x-rays were negative. Good news is they get an extra day, so we'll get an update from Freddie today. Obviously, we have to ask about it, even though they did say last night the x-rays were negative, but hey, you never know how a guy wakes up the next day and feels, so... we'll be following that this week, but at least the early indications appear to be that it's not serious.
We hope they'll get Greg Robinson back. Do you think that he could be suspended?
Sure, absolutely. You can't kick a guy in the head.
Oh, he did,
definitely,
though.
He did. Absolutely he did. That's why he got thrown out. He's definitely getting fined. Myles Garrett's going to get fined. No question about that. So, I'm interested to see what the NFL does there, but I do believe, if I understand the rules correctly, that they are within their rights to suspend him for a game.
Oh, great. Well, there's a nice how do you do. Is there any sort of a possibility? Because if they suspend him, my God, you know people are going to want to go to Trent Williams from Washington. Is there any sort of a desperate measure that they're capable of going into the trade bin again and going for offensive linemen? Or if Greg Robinson's good to go, is this basically what it is? Until maybe Wyatt Teller's okay, or Justin McCray, or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it is what it is, Ken. That they're going to end up going with what they got. I mean, they made an investment in Greg Robinson for this year, so and there wasn't a lot guaranteed with that contract. I understand, but it just seems, from what I've been able to gather over the last couple weeks when I've asked questions about that offensive line. You know, it's not as bad as I think it is kind of the message that I got. And again, when we looked at that game yesterday, you look at the stats, you look at the hits that Baker took, it's easy to say that line did not play well. And that was a unique situation. They lost two left tackles and had to bring a guy off the bench after shifting their right tackle over to the left side and bring in Justin McCray. Austin Corbett's not even useful at this point. He was inactive yesterday, so they're in a tough spot if they sustain any type of injury, or you know, if the NFL says that Greg Robinson's got to sit out a week.
Darrell, we thank you very much for the time. Hopefully we talk to you on Thursday under better circumstances, bud.
You got it, guys.
The great Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah.
I do have a question. Okay. Against the Houston Texans last year, which was a good defense, against the Baltimore Ravens last year, really good defense. Statistically, I think they were the best defense in the NFL. And the Titans, which we don't know what the Titans are going to end up being, but that looked like a pretty good defensive unit. Baker's thrown 9 interceptions in those games. I know that we all have talked about the virtues of Baker. Baker changed this whole thing around. How much better, Ken, does he need to get? Because against these tougher defenses, he has looked rattled. He yesterday he played okay for 3 quarters. Like, I'm not saying he had some terrible game. Made some terrible decisions, held onto the ball too long.
You can't get your guts all worked up. You can't be forcing garbage. He has exceptional talent. You can see it. But you just can't force that slop. Tampa Bay is not a good football team. Mm-hmm. They forced it against Tampa Bay.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.